Paul and Silas are experiencing a spiritual breakthrough. So the jailer comes and trembling, terrified, falls at the feet of Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what shall I do to be saved?" Now Paul didn't tell him, say, "Now you just need to be a good man." No, he didn't tell him that. He didn't tell him, "Now you just need to go to Sunday school, go to church." Yeah. No, he didn't tell him, and even though that is quite very important. But he told him that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what salvation is all about. Yeah. It's about believing. Some people live on the theory of John Bunyan, who said that they live in a city of morality. They think that if they just be good, they'll be saved and go to heaven. They don't have to do nothing but just be good. But you can't be good enough. What you got to understand is that Jesus done it all for us at Calvary. For the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, while we were powerless, Christ died for our sin. God demonstrated his love for us by allowing his son to die in our place. All you can do is accept salvation. Believe. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. John, Gospel, in the first chapter, verse 12, says that to those that received him, he gave them the right to become the sons of God and also those that believe. So it is about believing in Jesus Christ, that he came and he lived and he died for your sin and my sin, and God raised him from the dead. The jailer had a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, because Paul baptized him and his whole family. I told you, your witness and your testimony can be an impact on your family. Because of him accepting Christ, he led his whole household to accept Christ. And he brought him out, Paul and Silas out, and washed their wounds and took care of them. See, when you have really been born again, you're a changed person. This is the jailer having compassion for the prisoner. Beforehand, he had them locked up. But now that he has, now that they are set free from their shackles, he has brought them to the house and he has washed their wounds and even fed them. And then the next morning, the magi sent men to say, "Set them free." But Paul said, No. You whipped us publicly. We Roman citizens. See, they wasn't allowed to do that to Roman citizens. Paul said, "We Roman citizens. You did that publicly to us. So we're not going nowhere. You're going to have to come and publicly deliver us." And he did just that. And told them, said, "Now, if you don't mind, please leave the city." But Paul didn't leave the city. Went back to Lydia's household and talked to her. And he said, and he encouraged the brothers. So the whole city of Philippi had a spiritual breakthrough, all because of the midnight prayer of Paul and Silas. And it can happen to you, my brothers and my sisters, if you just believe on the Lord. As I come to a close this morning, it doesn't matter what your situation is. Amen. God has the solution. Yeah. It does not matter the hurt. He can heal. Yeah. It doesn't matter the desperation. Yeah. He has the deliverance. Yeah. It doesn't matter the sin. Yeah. He is the sole solution. Yeah. It doesn't matter the hell. Yeah. He is the help. Jesus is waiting for you to say yes and allow him to break in. for your spiritual breakthrough. Jesus, Mary, baby boy, he had a spiritual breakthrough at the time of his baptism. The Bible says that the heavens opened up and the Holy Ghost came down like on a dove and landed on him. The Bible says that God spoke, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." The same Jesus went about doing good and thought not of himself. Same Jesus fed the hungry, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, clothed the naked, touched the lepers, and they was cleaned. Same Jesus went to Calvary, where he hung dead and died for your sin and my sin. But early Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my bright and morning star, my all in all, got up with all power. Ain't God all right? He's all right. Through prayer, hurt feelings are healed. Through prayer, troubled souls are eased. Through prayer, hard hearts are softened. Through prayer, confused minds are cleared. Through prayer, personal values are improved. Through prayer, bad attitudes are reformed. Through prayer and faith in God, hope become brighter, faith become stronger, decision become wiser, vision become clearer, thoughts become purer, doubt become fewer, joy become fuller. Through prayer, there's power in prayer. Silas and Paul and Silas prayed in a Roman jail and had their breakthrough. But did you know Jonas prayed in the belly of a great fish and had his breakthrough? Yeah, Lord.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let us receive our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity once again to hear your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless them in a special way. Give them understanding into your word, that they may practice these principles for profit and give you all praise and glory. Lord, you knew who would be here today. You knew who would hear this word by CD. We pray that you would bless in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for his word. You may be seated in his presence as we begin our study in the word today. It is so important, again, to recognize the need of the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Ghost. It is important to recognize that you will never, ever reach your full potential unless you have the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit residing in you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was confirmed in the earth realm, his ministry and his messiahship by the Holy Ghost and the Father. He didn't start his public ministry without the person, the power, or the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying to us today? That if we're going to be effective, not only in ministry, but in life, we need the Holy Spirit. We need him in every area of our life, just to live life successfully, just to be able to understand the Word of God as relates to us and all that God has for us, just to be able to walk in authority, just to be able to speak those things that be not as though they were, just to be able to accomplish the things in this earth realm that God designed and desired for us to do. And so the power of the Holy Ghost is so necessary for the believers. Listen, you can be saved and still not have the power of the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of you. In the Old Testament time, when people, the Holy Spirit came upon people, that was interpreted as an anointing or a feeling of the Holy Ghost. The feeling, not F-E-E-L, but F-I-L. L-I-N-G, feeling. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit or the anointing for a specific assignment and a specific period. The anointing was the Holy Spirit's power to accomplish a certain thing. When that certain thing was accomplished, the Spirit departed from them. So he didn't stay with them always. He was with them until they completed the assignment. But in the New Testament, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and he said that the Holy Spirit would be with us forever. So in other words, we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, those of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and his presence and his anointing upon our lives, so that the favor of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the anointing of God is upon us always to live life successfully. And so it's important to understand, if Jesus himself needed the person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit, the question is, what about you? So let's look at his walk in the earth realm, and we'll walk through some of these scriptures and just set the foundation for us as we build upon this subject to help you see and understand. When we're through with this word, everybody ought to be ready to, who has not accepted and received the person, presence, and power of the Holy Ghost, to receive him in their lives so that they can live life successfully. You're going to see all of the things that Jesus was able to do in the earth realm because of the Holy Ghost. Why is that important again? Because that same power that was present in Jesus is present today for us to be able to do what he did. Jesus says, these things shall you do and greater. Amen. Greater shall you do, because I go back to the Father. And the Holy Ghost, who is the other comforter, is going to empower us to do all of those things. Without the Holy Ghost, we are not empowered to do them. So let's look at Matthew 3, verse 13 through 17. I'll read it.
Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus of Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Verse 16, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen. Now, Jesus himself now has been baptized by John, and the Holy Ghost came down and lit on Jesus' shoulder, signifying that he feels Jesus. That's when the Spirit led upon them at that point. Because keep in mind, contrary to most folk understanding, it was still the practice of the Holy Spirit at that point to feel folk. The endowment of the Holy Ghost had not yet come. He does not come to Acts chapter 2 in the world to live inside of men. So at that point, he just came and he filled Jesus. However, John does record in the third chapter, in the 34th verse, we're not going there right now, but that he was filled without measure, which means that he had unlimited power of the Holy Ghost, presence of the Holy Ghost. It's important to understand it. But the Holy Ghost confirms him. After he is baptized, he comes up, the Holy Ghost comes down, and he confirms Jesus. Well, then after the Holy Ghost confirms Jesus, the Father speaks from heaven, and he confirms Jesus and says, this is the one he loved, this is his Son, and he is well pleased with him. Okay, now, the question is, why did Jesus get baptized? Did he get baptized unto repentance? No, because he never sinned. So if he never sinned, what was the purpose of him getting baptized? First of all, to choose the method of Judaism, which was important to understand that he confirmed baptism as a proper method when repenting. The baptism was, again, a show, a demonstration later of what? His death, burial, and resurrection. It was also the fact that Jesus, who knew no sin, came down to earth to take on our sins. And though he needed not to repent, he did it as an example to fulfill, the Bible says, all righteousness. So he did it as an example to us who do need to be baptized, who do need to repent of our sins. And so it was just to demonstrate that he was aligning himself with the word, the will, and the way of God. Now, what's interesting about this is all four gospel accounts record this situation. Look at Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Rita?
Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Right. Now here again, Mark records what Matthew recorded. All right. And each one of them in their own recording of this important event all confirm that Jesus had the Holy Ghost to come upon him and the Father confirming him as his Son and being pleased with him beginning his earthly ministry to save mankind. All right, look at Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And I hope you're writing these things down for your own benefit. All right, Rita?
Luke chapter 3, 21 through 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased.
Amen. Now Luke joins him. And Luke says that the Holy Ghost came in bodily form like a dove. Now the Holy Ghost is not a dove. He's not a bird. But he appeared as such. They reference him as fire. He's not fire. He appears as fire. Purifies as fire. He's not wind, but he is known to be as wind. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is called Ruach. Ruach, which means wind or air from heaven. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called Pneuma. Pneuma, that's Greek for breath or breathe. All right? But he is not wind. He moves like wind. And so that's an important illustration, because there are so many things that we want to share with you about the Holy Spirit. But John picks up in chapter 1 and verse 32. Rita.
John chapter 1 and verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.
Now, John says, I saw it, the Spirit come down. But John makes clear, he says something. He uses a word that the rest of them don't. He says, abode. Now, that's important, because it is the word that suggests that the Spirit did not leave him. It abode. It was what was abiding in him. And that gives us a helpful holy hint as to how the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have the Holy Ghost abiding in us continuously, each and every day. Why is that again so important? Because you need the Holy Ghost for all that he brings to your life. He animates life. He makes life real. He is able to give life to situations. He is able to bring what is dead alive. He's able to restore what has been destroyed. He has so many powers, purposes and power for the lives of believers, that it is important that you understand you are not here and will be successful without the Holy Ghost, which is why the devil doesn't want you to have him. He don't mind you being saved and you die and go on to heaven when you get there, whatever, but he wants to defeat you in the earth realm. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, he has that ability to do so. That's the reason why you need the Holy Ghost after you become saved, because now you are the enemy's main target now. So if you're his main target, don't you know you need a power greater than the enemy himself? That's why John records, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Speaking again of the Holy Ghost. And this is so very important. Now let me just take you back again to understand, because the Old Testament confirms Christ, the New Testament conceals Christ, the New Testament reveals Christ. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah sees through the telescope of time Jesus Christ and various aspects of his ministry and the Holy Spirit working and dealing with him. And let's look at some of the things that happens as a result of the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Read it.
Isaiah 11 and 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Wait. And the Spirit of the Lord shall what?
Rest.
Okay. Upon is another word for feeling or abiding. All right. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Continue.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of counsel and might.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
All right. Now listen, when he is anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, he's going to have some realities that come with that anointing. Now the very first thing that comes upon him is what? The spirit of what? The spirit of wisdom. We've been teaching us about, that's why Proverbs 4 and 7 says, wisdom is the what? Principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. See, my brothers and sisters, wisdom is so important to every aspect of life. It's the difference in decision making. When you've got wisdom, you are able to make decisions that will yield itself to benefits for you because you are operating in the will of God. You're operating in the word of God. You're operating in the way of God. And you need the wisdom of God, and his spirit is the one who encompasses all wisdom. So when you have the Spirit of God, you have wisdom. You have the ability to walk in wisdom because he knows everything there is to know. Amen. He's the Spirit of truth. So listen at this. The Spirit of wisdom and what else? And understanding. Now some folk don't understand that you can have wisdom and still not have understanding. Now, here is what's important. You need both of them. You need the wisdom of God, and you need to know how to understand the operation of the wisdom of God. See, to have the wisdom that God wants you to have and to understand how to use it, listen, it's not just enough to have it, it's to know when and when not to use it. Paul said, I've learned both how to be hungry and to be full. I've learned how to be abased and to abound. You know, I know how to suffer want and need. He's making clear that wisdom teaches him there are times that you have got to use the God wisdom to be able to navigate a situation. You know, you go to somebody's house and, you know, they're just not the cleanest folk in the world. And, you don't want to hurt their feelings. They offer you a glass of water, and, you know, you see critters crawling around and stuff and different things. You don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to say nothing. Now, wisdom will teach you, I don't care how thirsty you are. Come on, talk to me, somebody. All of a sudden, you're not thirsty. Not because you're not thirsty. But you don't want to gag on that water, and you don't want to talk about them, and you don't want to say anything. So it's just best. Wisdom says, no, you're good. You don't want to eat anything. You don't want to drink anything. I know you can pray and it won't harm you, but that ain't the point. Am I talking to anybody who understands me? Just because they offer you don't mean you have to take it. You can graciously decline without hurting their feelings. Wisdom teaches you how to operate. Now, again, you can be in a situation where you're really not hungry, but someone has gone through all of that problem. And you might not want to, but you can say, listen, I'll take just a little bit because I'm really not. Now, you're not hungry, but they've gone through all that, and they're clean, and it's good to eat, whatever the case. So you do it because you recognize the sacrifice that they've made to do that, etc. And they did it all for you, so you don't want to hurt them. So wisdom says, take a little bit. A little taste is better than nothing, and they'll feel still that you ate. You ain't got to eat a platter full to be able to say, this is good. Thank you so very much. Am I, y'all not hearing me here? So wisdom helps you to navigate circumstances in life on a daily basis, understanding how to use that in every application.